This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Taking a look at the issues surrounding the health and well-being of our LGBTIQ+ communities. This is Well, 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 brought to you by the team from Thorn Harbour Health on Joy and the Community Radio Network.
Here on Well, 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 you're with Jack and Jacinta, and we're now joined by Dr. Brandy Cochran, the Senior Lecturer and Chair of Criminology at the College of Law and Justice at Victoria University, and who's involved with the Forcibly Displaced Peoples Network in ways that we're going to find out over the course of the next 25 minutes or so. Dr. Brandy Cochran, thank you so much for joining us, I guess, to begin with. Can you tell us a little bit about the work you do at Victoria University and some of the stuff that, or how you got involved with the Forcibly Displaced Peoples Network?
Yeah, I'm happy to chat about both of those things. So as you mentioned, I'm in the department within the law school at VU. And the majority of my work is around LGBTIQA plus issues more broadly. I do work around borders and migration and LGBTIQA plus people, which is how I got involved with FDPN. And then my other work is around the focus of the far right on LGBTIQA plus population. So that's my main areas of research. I first met the folks from FDPN, and I went to their first conference that was up in Canberra. I was so excited to see a conference that was specifically about queer displaced people. It's, you know, a very understudied area, and I was quite excited to talk a bit about some of the Administrative Appeals Tribunal rulings, specifically around trans people and the way that the judges spoke about them. And the unfortunate way that their cases were being adjudicated in the tribunal. So went to their conference and went from there.
Yeah. And what kind of stories or things did you see? Like you mentioned, the way that the judges talk about the people and the cases, what kind of things do you see?
When I was doing work specifically around this, there was this a lot of misunderstandings, right, about trans people, about if trans people needed surgery, why haven't you had surgery? But also just a huge difference in understanding people from, non-Western countries and their ideas about their own sexuality and their own gender, and saying, well, we have our own words for this, but you don't understand them. So how do I frame that? And that kind of led me down the line to do a project about how legal representatives actually help sort of shepherd applicants to knowable labels. And that's really interesting as well, because you have to be able to, you have to get the judge to understand your story and care about you, right, as an asylum seeker. So great legal representatives do that well by helping you explain yourself in kind of a colonial Western heteronormative sort of way to be able to get your case through. But, you know, we have those groups called, like, say, Pain Kids from Malaysia. And, you know, that's a very specific thing. They're a tomboy. They often dress masculine. They often dress like women. So they also date women. But they don't have, they're like, well, trans, I guess not. Like, what does that mean? Why do you want me to have this? So it was a lot of picking apart what these kind of labels were and why our current justice system, or I should say administrative system, doesn't understand them.
You were speaking about how, I suppose, the first time you had, seen or worked with the FDPN was around the, was it the 2023 Queer Displacement Conference?
No, the original one was a few years back. I want to say 20, I'm not going to remember the date off the top of my head, but that was the 2023 one. That's where we'll talk about this later, where we launched the report. But there was an initial one a few years back in Canberra that I was at.
Cool. I appreciate that you haven't, I suppose, been at FDPN for the entire time that it's existed. But I suppose for people who aren't fully across the work of FDPN, can you speak a little bit about what the network does? And I suppose from what you've heard from, say, Renee or some of the other folk involved, how it came to be?
Happy to chat about that. So the originators of FDPN, I would say, are Tina and Renee Dixon, and they are a married couple from Ukraine, so who are refugees and now are both studying PhDs here in Australia. And I think this was their brainchild coming together, trying to get funding, saying, why can't we get services? Why are people saying there's no research out there about us? Why is nothing happening around it? So it became, you know, well, they're both our forces of nature. I hope at some point you'll be able to interview them as well. But the idea that we need to advocate for LGBTIQA plus refugees and asylum seekers. And I know that FDPN has grown since then. They have a whole board and, you know, a lot going on and a lot of different people involved. But they stand as the first registered organization that's actually led by LGBTQA plus people who have experienced forced displacement. So it's, you know, sometimes they'll engage people, like I'll work with them on research projects or, you know, volunteer my time, usually is what I do. But otherwise it's all run by folks with lived experience, which I think is incredibly important in why I think also the survey, which we'll talk about later, is really important as well.
Yeah, and at that 2023 Queer Displacement Conference in Canberra and Sydney leading up to World Pride, what was the aim of being there and, you know, getting the message out? Was it about sharing the results, or was it about also connecting with people and bringing more people into the network?
Yeah, I think it's both those things. I think it's when, you know, we had this great report, and I'll just talk to it very briefly now, not the results, but just to say what it is. What we did was do a countrywide survey of LGBTIQA plus refugees and asylum seekers and asked them questions, learned about them, you know, tried to say, okay, well, what about access to health services? What about access to homelessness surveys or services? What about other kinds of things? What kind of distress are you under now? What are your biggest stresses? You know, things like that. And that's the first survey of its kind in Australia. So there's been other great surveys that do work, but they don't ask about migration status, or they don't ask about, you know, things like sexuality, gender, things like this, in a more complicated way than just thinking about it in a binary. So the purpose of the survey, you know, and launching that survey is to say, well, you keep saying we don't have any data. Here's our data. We made it ourselves. And so it's about reflecting the voices of the people who undertook the survey, but it's also about getting governments, NGOs, and other people on board with supporting these kinds of people, these people that might fall out of heteronormative notions of what we understand a refugee to be. So I think that's our hope, is that we can share that. You know, during the conference, you know, a number of the participants with lived experience were like, well, we already know this. Why are we doing this survey? You know, and it's like, well, now we have to tell everyone else, and we have to get them on board, and we have to get them to make changes. There needs to be specific, you know, kind of delivery of services that are needed and are different than they are. So that's our hope. And I think we did, it's definitely a much larger conference than the first one. And I think we had a lot of people who really got on board and were happy to have like a piece of paper with all the numbers. Because, you know, there's nothing that governments love more than some a bit of numbers. So,
You said that it was really one of the first, or the first, I suppose, pieces of research looking into the experience of queer displaced people specifically. Can you tell us a little bit about what you are asking these people about their experiences? I suppose as far as qualitative versus quantitative data, how you even try and fit that into the context of other experiences, which could be so vastly different, right, from each other. what was some of the questions you were asking?
Yeah, you know, we try to do a really good balance because, like we said, governments love numbers. But obviously, qualitative difference is essential, and individual voices are essential. So our work with the report is this hope that we've captured both of those things and that we can say both of those things. So we're able to use, you know, a number of different direct quotes from people, but also then get overall experience as well, which I think is a really, it's a really great report in that way, is that it tries to do both. You know, I'm not a statistician. I just happen to come from America. And so during my master's, I'm making learned statistics. I thought, oh, I'm never going to do that again. I'm always going to do qualitative research. But in this particular field, and in a lot of fields like mine, there in Australia, there's not a lot of numbers people. So it turns out even kind of my basic work around it is really important, I guess I would say, around that. Again, for convincing other people, not for talking, you know, to the average person or to people with lived experience themselves. We asked them a lot of different questions. And we asked about, you know, kind of the demographic basics, right? So, you know, name, age, things like that. We asked about visa status. And I think that's a really important breakdown that we did, because it's not just, are you on a temporary visa or are you on a permanent visa? We were able to ask, like, what kind of temporary visa are you on? Are you actually on an international student visa? Because that's another thing that often goes uncaptured in this, is a lot of people come on an international student visa, but then don't feel confident to go back home because of the, you know, the laws and oppression happening in their home countries. So then try to stay, right? And then we can say, were you a citizen? Were you previously on a migrant visa? Or we also talked to some people who have no visas and were undocumented as well in our sample. So just actually capturing those people, especially undocumented people, I think is exceptionally important, because they often get missed. So asked about that, talked about, you know, kind of the other things, location in Australia, disability and chronic health conditions. We also included that in the survey, because again, you don't often see the overlap of all of these things at once. You see these all being done in these different surveys. So they don't, it doesn't come together. The whole picture doesn't come together. So that's one thing we really wanted to make sure happened with this. We asked a lot about health, mental health, physical health, access to doctors, access to mental health care. Talked a bit about violence in home countries, but also, you know, one of the big things that we found was also just the violence that's occurred in Australia for the majority of our participants was very surprising as well. And I think really, really important for us to consider what's happening in that realm. Asked a bit about kind of major stressors, kind of things that are still bothering people. Talked about homelessness surveys and housing. So we could specifically ask, like, you know, what kind of spaces are you living in? What, you know, how do you manage? And then things around employment and education, questions around sex work and things like that. So we were able to capture this much, you know, which I think is actually shows a really good picture of what's going on for the population, rather than this kind of, as I said before, aggregated data that you have to then try to overlap and figure out, you know, what's going on then.
Here on WellWellWell, you're with Jack and Jacinta, and we're speaking with Dr. Brandy Cochran from Victoria University and the Forcibly Displaced Peoples Network. Stick with us. We've got more coming up in just a moment.
Sexual health, mental health, and the overall well-being of our LGBTIQ communities. You're listening to Well Well Well.
You're still with Jack and Jacinta on Well Well Well, and Dr. Brandy Cochran from Victoria University and the Forcibly Displaced Peoples Network. Before the break, we were speaking a little bit about the research that the Forcibly Displaced Peoples Network did and presented some of those findings at the 2023 Queer Displacement Conference. A number of people at the conference where this report was presented were like, we already know kind of, we have an understanding to some extent of what these experiences are like, but what were some of the other, I suppose, responses to the report being presented?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of excitement. I think both for people with lived experience, but also people who worked in different NGOs and things like that. There was, just a lot of excitement that we had this report and that they show it to people, and they could say, here's what we're going to do, here's how we're going to make change, here's where we need to focus funding and things like that. So I think, yeah, it was a lot of excitement and a lot of people coming up to me and being like, wait, can you help us do this about this particular population? Off the top of my head, just thinking about a group that works with young people in New Zealand, young queer refugees and asylum seekers. And they said, oh, we want to do this report. Like, we want something like this in New Zealand. Like, can you help us? Yes, we will figure that out. The next step. So I think there was also a lot of excitement from...
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.